Jesus? What did he do? What did he teach? How did he die and rise again? These are some of the questions we will try to answer in this video, using the information provided by biblical texts, historians, and archaeologists. Join us on this journey through the life of Jesus, from his birth to his ascension into heaven. Jesus was born in the 1st century BC in a town called Bethlehem, located in the region of Judea, south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was the birthplace of King David, the most famous of Israel's kings, and from whose descendants the Messiah was expected to come, the anointed of God, who would deliver the people from the oppression of their enemies and establish the kingdom of God on earth. According to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was a descendant of David through his adoptive father, Joseph, who was a carpenter from Nazareth, a town in Galilee, northern Israel. According to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was also a descendant of David through his mother, Mary, who was a young virgin engaged to Joseph. Both Gospels agree that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit without human intervention and that he was the Son of God. Joseph and Mary had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem because the Roman Emperor Augustus had ordered a census of the entire population, and everyone had to register in their hometown. When they arrived in Bethlehem, they found no place to stay and had to take refuge in a stable where Mary gave birth to Jesus and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That night, some shepherds who were in the field tending their sheep saw a great light and heard the voice of an angel who announced the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, and told them that they would find him in a manger. The shepherds went to see the child and worshipped him, and then they told what they had seen and heard. Magi from the east, who had seen a special star in the sky, followed its path to Bethlehem and offered the child gold, frankincense, and myrrh as gifts worthy of a king. King Herod, who ruled Judea under Roman rule, learned from the Magi that the king of the Jews had been born and feared that he was a threat to his power. So he had all the children under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem killed, hoping to eliminate the rival. But Joseph was warned by an angel in a dream and fled with Mary and the child to Egypt, where they remained until Herod's death. Then they returned to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up and became strong and wise and enjoyed the favor of God and men. Let's talk a little about his childhood and youth. The Gospels do not tell us much about this stage of his life, except for an episode that occurred when he was 12 years old. According to Luke's Gospel, Jesus went with his parents to Jerusalem, as he did every year, to celebrate the feast of the Passover, which commemorated the liberation of the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. When the feast was over, Joseph and Mary returned to Nazareth with the group of pilgrims, but they did not realize that Jesus had stayed in Jerusalem. After a day, they searched for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in anguish. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers of the law, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his intelligence and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I were looking for you in anguish." Jesus answered them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said. So he returned with them to Nazareth and obeyed them in everything. His mother kept all these things in her heart. We do not know what Jesus did during the following years until he began his public ministry around the age of 30. It is probable that he dedicated himself to the carpenter's trade, like his adoptive father, and that he lived a simple and pious life, fulfilling the law of Moses and participating in the Jewish festivals and rites. Some apocryphal writings, which are not part of the biblical canon, tell fantastic stories about Jesus' childhood, attributing miracles and wonders to him, but they have no historical or theological foundation. What we do know is that Jesus was aware of his identity and his mission as the Son of God and Messiah. and that he was preparing himself for the moment when he would manifest himself to the world. The beginning of Jesus' public ministry was marked by his baptism in the Jordan River by his cousin John, called the Baptist. John was a prophet who preached in the desert, calling the people to conversion and repentance from their sins, and announcing the coming of the kingdom of God and of the Messiah, who would be mightier than he, and who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John baptized with water those who accepted his message as a sign of purification and preparation for the encounter with the Messiah. Many came to him, including some Pharisees and Sadducees, who were influential religious groups opposed to each other. John rebuked them and told them that it was not enough to be descendants of Abraham, but that they had to bear fruits of justice and mercy, and that the axe was already laid to the root of the trees, and that every tree that did not bear good fruit would be cut down and thrown into the fire. One day Jesus came to John to be baptized by him. John was surprised and said to him, "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" Jesus answered him, "Let me do this now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed and baptized Jesus. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, heaven was opened, and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and a voice was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Thus Jesus was recognized by the Father and by the Spirit as the Son of God, and was anointed with the power and authority to fulfill his mission. John also recognized him as the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he bore witness to him before his disciples and before the people. After his baptism, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he spent 40 days and 40 nights without food or drink, preparing for his mission. There he was tempted by the devil, who proposed three tests to make him doubt his identity and his fidelity to God. The first test was that of hunger. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The second test was that of power. The devil took him into the holy city and set him on the wing of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." The third test was that of glory. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and angels came and served him. Thus Jesus overcame temptation and demonstrated that he was the Son of God, that he did not allow himself to be deceived or seduced by evil, but submitted to the will of the Father, and that he trusted in his word and in his protection. Jesus also shows us that true happiness is not in bread, nor in power, nor in glory, but in love, obedience, and service to God. After the temptation, Jesus returned to Galilee and began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." His fame spread throughout the region, and the people followed him and listened to him attentively. Jesus did not want to do his work alone, but chose 12 men, whom he called apostles, to be his companions, his witnesses, and his collaborators. The apostles were Simon, whom he called Peter, which means rock, Andrew his brother, James and John, sons of Zebedee, whom he called Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, who was a tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who would later betray him. Jesus called them in different ways, some while they were fishing in the lake of Gennesaret, others while they were sitting at the tax bank, others while they were in their homes or in their fields. To all he said, "Follow me," and they left everything and followed him. Jesus taught them the mystery of the kingdom of God, gave them authority to cast out demons and heal the sick, and sent them out to preach and perform miracles in his name. Jesus loved them as his friends and prepared them to continue his mission after his departure. Jesus not only preached with words, but also with deeds. He performed miracles, which were signs that the kingdom of God had come and that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Jesus' miracles were acts of power and love, which showed his compassion for the suffering and his authority over the forces of evil. He healed the sick, freed the possessed, multiplied the loaves and fishes, calmed the storms, walked on water, raised the dead, and performed many other wonders. With his miracles, he revealed the glory of God and confirmed the truth of his message. Jesus also invited people to believe in him and to have faith, which is trust in his word and in his power. Many believed in him and followed him and witnessed his wonders. Others, however, did not believe and rejected him and accused him of working miracles by the power of Satan. Jesus warned them that whoever blasphemed against the Holy Spirit who worked the miracles through him would not be forgiven. Among the first miracles of Jesus, we can mention the following. The first miracle was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned water into wine at the request of his mother Mary. With this miracle, he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. His second miracle was in Capernaum, where he healed the son of a king's official who was about to die. He said to the official, "Go, your son lives." And the man believed the word of Jesus and went away. And as he went, his servants met him and told him that his son lived. And the man believed, he and all his house. The third miracle was in the synagogue in Capernaum, where he drove out an unclean spirit from a man who cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, shaking the man violently and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed and said, "What is this? What new doctrine is this, that with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him?" And the fame of Jesus spread throughout the whole region. Because of this, Jesus spent most of his public ministry in Galilee, a region in northern Israel, where a great diversity of people lived, both Jews and Gentiles, and where there was a strong Roman presence. He chose Galilee as the setting for his preaching because it was there that the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, which said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, on them has light shined." Jesus went throughout Galilee, accompanied by his disciples and a great multitude who followed him everywhere, attracted by his words and his works. He taught in the synagogues, which were the places of prayer and study of the law of the Jews, and also in the open air, in the mountains, on the shores of the lake, in the cities and in the villages. He taught with authority, not like the scribes, who were the official interpreters of the law, and who relied on the traditions and opinions of the rabbis. He taught as the one who has the power and the truth, and who speaks for God. He taught the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is the good news that God is at work in history to restore his original plan, to deliver his people, to judge evil, and to establish his justice and his peace. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was at hand and that he was the one sent by God, the Messiah, the one who held the key to the kingdom. Jesus taught that to enter the kingdom of God, one had to repent of one's sins and believe in the gospel and follow him. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was not like the human kingdoms, but that it was a spiritual kingdom based on love of God and neighbor, and that it was manifested in the humble, the poor, the meek, the peaceable, the merciful, the pure in heart, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God was a kingdom of grace, to be received by faith and not by works, and to be lived by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by human strength. He taught that the kingdom of God was a kingdom of glory, which would be fully revealed at the end of time, when he would come again with power and great majesty to judge the living and the dead, and to give reward to those who love him and punishment to those who hate him. It is important to emphasize that Jesus used parables to teach about the kingdom of God and about the mysteries surrounding it. He used parables to illustrate what the kingdom of God was like, how one could enter it, how one should live in it, and how it would develop and be consummated. Jesus used parables to challenge his listeners, to invite them to reflect, to question, to discover, to decide, to change, to act. Jesus used parables to reveal and to conceal, to clarify and to confuse, to draw near and to drive away, to reward and to judge. Jesus used parables for those who had ears to hear and for those who did not. He used parables to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and they hear with heavy ears and have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Among the parables he told, we can mention the parable of the sower, which speaks of the different ways of receiving the word of God and of the obstacles and the fruits it produces. The tares, which speak of the coexistence of good and evil in the world and of the final separation that the Son of Man will make. The pearl of great price, which speaks of the incomparable value of the kingdom of God and of the renunciation involved in obtaining it. The prodigal son, which speaks of the father's unconditional love and of the reconciliation he offers to repentant sinners. The good Samaritan, which speaks of the mercy that should be shown to others regardless of their condition or origin. The ten virgins, which speak of the vigilance that must be kept before the coming of the bridegroom, who is Christ. The talents, which speak of the responsibility that we must have with the gifts that God has given us, and of the accountability that we will have before him. Thanks to all this, anyone would think that Jesus was loved by everyone, but he had not only followers and admirers, but also enemies and opponents. Among them were the religious leaders of the Jews, who saw in Jesus a threat to their authority and their tradition. They were divided into several groups who had different beliefs and practices, but who coincided in rejecting Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. Among these groups, we can mention the following: the Pharisees, who were the most numerous and the most influential among the people. They were zealous for the law of Moses, and they interpreted and applied it rigorously and in detail, adding many rules and customs that they had received from their ancestors. They considered themselves the guardians of the purity and identity of Israel, and separated themselves from those who did not follow their rules. They were hypocrites because they appeared to be pious, but were not so at heart. They criticized Jesus for not complying with their traditions and for associating with sinners and publicans. Jesus called them whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. The Sadducees, who were the richest and most powerful among the Jews, they were the ones who controlled the temple and the priesthood and had good relations with the Romans. They were politically liberal, but religiously conservative. They only accepted the written law of Moses and rejected the oral traditions of the Pharisees. They did not believe in the resurrection, nor in angels, nor in miracles. They mocked Jesus for his teachings about the kingdom of God and for his claims about his divinity. Jesus called them ignorant, erring, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. The scribes, who were the experts in the law, and those who taught it to the people. They were those who copied, interpreted, and applied the law of Moses, and those who dictated the judicial sentences. They were those who knew the scriptures, but did not understand them. They boasted of their wisdom, but did not use it for good. They allied themselves with the Pharisees and Sadducees to question and to accuse Jesus. Jesus called them blind guides, who made heavy burdens for men, but they would not touch them with a finger. The Herodians, who were the supporters of Herod, the puppet king of the Romans, they were those who had sold out to power and corruption and who had forgotten the hope of Israel. They were those who sought political expediency and not the will of God. They joined with the Pharisees to set traps for Jesus and to make him fall into contradiction with Caesar. Jesus called them hypocrites, who presented him with the coin of tribute and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." These groups and others opposed Jesus and asked him tricky questions, asked him for signs, put obstacles in his way, sought his faults, slandered him, persecuted him, and wanted to kill him. But Jesus answered them with wisdom and authority, rebuked and warned them, and announced to them the judgment of God, and offered them forgiveness and salvation if they would repent and believe in him. Jesus did not fear his enemies, but faced them with courage and love, and fulfilled his mission, turning neither to the right nor to the left. Jesus knew that his mission would not be easy, but would involve suffering and death. Therefore, he revealed to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer much from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. But Peter, who was the most impetuous of the disciples, rebuked him, saying, "Lord, have compassion on you. In no wise let this thing befall you." Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you set your mind not on the things of God, but on the things of men." Jesus told his disciples that if anyone would come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for his sake will find it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus told them that some of those who were there would not die until they saw the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart. There, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. When Peter saw this, he said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you are willing, let us make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Then Jesus came and touched them and said to them, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Thus Jesus was transfigured and showed his glory and was confirmed by the Father and the prophets as the Son of God and the Messiah. Jesus showed his disciples a foretaste of his resurrection and his coming to strengthen their faith and hope. Jesus also taught them that the way to glory was through the way of the cross, and that they should follow him without fear or doubt. Jesus asked them to keep silent until the time was fulfilled and to listen to his voice and not to the voice of men. After traveling throughout Galilee and passing through Samaria and Judea, Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, the holy city, where the temple of God was located and where the feast of the Passover was celebrated, commemorating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Jesus entered Jerusalem as the King of the Jews, but he soon encountered the hostility and conspiracy of his enemies who were looking for ways to kill him. Jesus knew that the hour of his passion had come, that is, of his suffering and surrender for the love of God and mankind. Jesus celebrated with his disciples the Last Supper, at which he instituted the Eucharist, the sacrament of his body and blood, which are offered for the new covenant and for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus washed his disciples' feet as a sign of their humility and service, and gave them a new commandment that they should love one another as he had loved them. Jesus foretold them that one of them would betray him, who was Judas Iscariot, who sold him for 30 pieces of silver, that another would deny him, who was Peter, who denied him 3 times before the cock crowed, and that they would all forsake him when the hour of trial came. Jesus comforted them and promised them that he would send them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who would teach them all truth and give them peace. Jesus told them that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one came to the Father but by him. Jesus told them that he was the vine, and that they were the branches, and that they should abide in him, that they might bear much fruit. Jesus told them that he was the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep, and that he has other sheep that are not of this fold, and that he must bring them so that there may be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus prayed to the Father for himself, for his disciples, and for all who would believe in him, that they might be one, as he and the Father are one, and that they might have his glory. After supper, Jesus went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he used to pray. There, Jesus suffered great anguish and sweated drops of blood as he contemplated the cup of passion that he was to drink. Jesus prayed to the Father, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus found his disciples asleep and said to them, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus was betrayed by Judas, who kissed him as a sign to those who were coming to seize him. Jesus was arrested by an armed mob sent by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Jesus was abandoned by his disciples, who fled, and one of them, a young man who followed him wrapped in a sheet, left the sheet and escaped naked. Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of the Jews, where he was falsely accused of blasphemy for saying that he was the Son of God and the Messiah. Jesus was condemned to death and was spat upon, beaten, and mocked by those who guarded him. Jesus was brought before Pilate, the Roman governor, who had the authority to carry out the sentence. Jesus was interrogated by Pilate, who found no fault in him, but yielded to the pressure of the crowd, who demanded that he release Barabbas, a thief and murderer, and crucify Jesus. Jesus was scourged, crowned with thorns, clothed in purple, and presented to the people, who cried, "Crucify him, crucify him!" Jesus was loaded with the cross and carried to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, where he was crucified between 2 thieves, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus was reviled by those who passed by the chief priests, by the scribes, by the elders, and by the thieves themselves, who said to him, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe in you." Jesus was forsaken by the Father and cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus was comforted by his mother, Mary, who stood at the foot of the cross, and by the beloved disciple John, to whom he said, "Woman, behold your son," and to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Jesus was forgiven by one of the thieves, who said to him, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," and to whom he said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus was recognized by the Roman centurion who was in charge of the guard, who said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Jesus gave up his spirit to the Father, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Thus Jesus suffered his passion and died on the cross out of love for God and mankind. Jesus died as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and who offers himself as an atoning sacrifice for the new covenant. Jesus died as the servant of God who suffers for us and who bears our infirmities and our iniquities. Jesus died as the Son of God who becomes obedient unto death and death on a cross, and who glorifies the Father by his self-giving. Jesus died as the Messiah, who fulfills the prophecies and who inaugurates the kingdom of God with his blood. Jesus died as the Savior, who gives his life for his friends and who reconciles us with God and with men. Jesus died as the Lord, who has power over life and death and who conquers sin, the devil, and the world. Jesus died on the cross and was taken down from it by Joseph of Arimathea, a rich and pious man who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Joseph asked Pilate for the body of Jesus and wrapped it in a clean sheet and laid it in a new tomb, which he had hewn out of a rock, and rolled a great stone at the entrance of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who were women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and who had served him, were there, sitting opposite the tomb, watching where he was laid. The chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and asked him to guard the tomb, because they remembered that Jesus had said that he would rise again on the third day, and they were afraid that his disciples would come by night and take him away and tell the people that he had risen, and that the last deception would be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go, secure him as you know how." They went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. But on the third day, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, something extraordinary and wonderful happened. Jesus rose from the dead by the power of God and came out of the tomb, leaving the sheet and the shroud with which he had been wrapped. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his robe white as snow. The guards trembled with fear and stood as if dead. Mary Magdalene, who had gone to the tomb with other women to anoint the body of Jesus with spices, saw that the stone had been taken away, and ran and told Peter and John, who came running and entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths, but did not find the body of Jesus. They went away, not yet understanding that Jesus was risen according to what he had said. Mary stood outside, weeping, and looked into the tomb and saw two angels dressed in white, who said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize him. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, thinking it was the gardener, said to him, "Lord, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means master. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Thus Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to Mary Magdalene, the first witness of his resurrection. Jesus rose with a glorious body, which was not subject to the limitations of nature, and which could appear and disappear, and enter and leave without opening the doors. Jesus rose as the firstborn from the dead, and the beginning of the new creation, and the guarantee of our resurrection. Jesus rose as the conqueror of sin, death, and the devil, and the one who has the keys of Hades and death. Jesus rose as the Lord of life and the one who gives life to those who believe in him. Jesus rose as the Son of God and the one who was declared with power to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples to confirm their faith, instruct them about the kingdom of God, and send them to preach the gospel to all nations. Jesus appeared to his disciples on different occasions and in different ways during 40 days from his resurrection to his ascension. He spoke to them of the kingdom of God and gave them the mandate to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high by the Holy Spirit, who would give them the strength and wisdom to fulfill their mission. Jesus blessed them, and as he blessed them, he departed from them and was taken up into heaven, and a cloud hid him from their eyes. When the disciples saw this, they fell on their faces and worshiped Jesus, and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. While they were gazing into heaven, two men in white robes came up to them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Thus Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, the place of honor and authority. He ascended as the Lord of glory and the one who received the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He ascended as the high priest and the one who entered the heavenly sanctuary, not with the blood of animals, but with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. He ascended as the mediator and the one who intercedes for us before the Father and who gives us access to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely succor. He ascended as the King and the one who has all power in heaven and on earth and who rules over all things and who subdues all his enemies at his feet, until he delivers the kingdom to the Father, when he has done away with all dominion, all authority and power. He ascended into heaven, but he did not leave us alone, but sent us the Holy Spirit, the other Comforter, who dwells in us, and who guides us into all truth, and who reminds us of all that he told us, and who gives us the gifts and the fruits to live as children of God. He also promised us that he would return and that he would prepare a place for us in his Father's house, and that he would come again and receive us to himself, so that where he is, there we may be also. He told us that no one knows the day or the hour of his coming, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. He told us that his coming will be like lightning, coming out of the east and flashing as far as the west, and that he will be seen by all, and that he will come with his angels with great power and glory, and that he will gather his elect from the four winds, and that he will judge the nations, and that he will separate the righteous from the wicked, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He told us that we must be prepared and watch and pray and do his will and bear fruit and not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the world is passing away and the lusts thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. He told us that when he comes, he will say to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He told us that he will be with us all the days until the end of the world. He told us, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Behold, I come quickly." Amen. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. This is the end of the video about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. If you liked it, don't forget to like the video, share it with your friends, and subscribe to the channel for more quality content. You can also leave us your comments, suggestions, and questions. See you in the next video.